Yes, he will come again in glory and wonder and majesty. And you know, I was thinking about this sermon, and I was thinking, well, how can I tie in Christmas with this vision of the glorified Son? Well, first of all, we had started with the book of Revelation yesterday, okay? And just some highlights from last week's message here. You know, you have to remember that the book of Revelation is one of the most misunderstood books. And there's some preachers that I know won't even preach from it, okay? But as we will find out, that John had said, look, blessed are you through the Holy Spirit of God that reads this book, that understands this book. And all, you know, 66 books that we have in the Bible, it was written over 1,500 years, we have the Word of God, and we should understand it because we want to be blessed. And that means to be an overabundance of happiness, of joy that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, we looked at last week, there are allegories found in this book, there are types compared to, there's metaphors, figures of speech, and all these convey a message. Now, of course, we have to understand that John was reading this at the time in the future, and, you know, it was 2,025 or so years ago, roughly. And, you know, when you're trying to look into the future, write things down, it's kind of difficult. All right. So he did the best he could through the Holy Spirit. And then also we looked at we need to have discernment through the Word of God. And, of course, we can't go with AI because now, you know, people are saying, you know, you can get a lot of information through AI. But AI, that's artificial intelligence, does not give you the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. So there's the truth. And then number two, we looked at last week, AI does not have the Holy Spirit either. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but what the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, you know, AI does not have that, but we do have the Word of God. And then thirdly, we looked at, under numerous of things, that the word blessed in Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, we are blessed, and it's one of the seven Beatitudes that has the idea of the Beatitudes of the book of Revelation. We do have the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, but also we have the word that's blessed seven times in the book of Revelation. So there are the Beatitudes of that. And then, of course, we looked at too, which a lot of people misunderstand this about, of what John is referring to. He's referring to the second coming here, and it's not referring to the rapture, okay? So we see there's that difference, and also Daniel saw the vision, too, of his second coming, coming in Daniel chapter 7, and Revelation also ties in with Matthew 24, where, you know, you have the Old and New Testament referred to Christ coming back in his second coming. And just to wrap up our what we went through last week was the rapture was for the church. The second coming is the church will come with Jesus in the clouds, right? Rapture, we go up with the Lord. For those who are alive in Christ and remain, will be caught up into this atmosphere, the third heaven. And then you have the second heaven and the first heaven. And then, of course, you have we'll be in the air, okay, with the Lord, and of course, we'll be coming back with the Lord, the second coming. And then, of course, for the rapture, you don't have any signs because you don't know when he's going to come. Forget about September 23rd, right? And you have the second coming. It will be full of signs, okay, the second coming, all right? And it will be a time of joy and blessing at the rapture, and then, of course, during the second coming, there'll be a time of mourning because people will see Christ, and they'll weep and they'll mourn. And then, of course, the time of the rapture is for the church, and then, of course, the second coming is for the Jews and the Gentiles here who, you know, see the Lord. So just some examples there, but, you know, what we looked at last week. Now let's get back into what I have here in verse 9. And we're looking at the setting in verses 9 and 10. We have the author. He is not the divine John. I like John because the man was with Christ since he was a very young man. And he grew to be much, much older. He became the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And what happened was is that because of Diocletian, he became the Roman emperor. He was sent to this island called Patmos, okay? And what happened was is that he was there to write the book of Revelation. Also, John returned back to the church of Ephesus from what our church fathers had told us, okay? Originally, they took John. Once Diocletian became Caesar, because he demanded worship, he said, you know what? My Roman Empire is so fast. This is what I can glean from different historians. I want to make worship me as a god to force this on people. That's why he demanded to be worshipped as a god, because he was paranoid. Godless leaders are usually paranoid. They're going to lose their power. You know, we have the power of Christ today, so we should not fear not what the world has, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So they took John, threw him in a container of oil, what historians said. Nothing happened to him. It never happened before. But I believe in the supernatural power of God. Amen. And yet nothing happened to him. They took him out and they were like, you know what? We got to do something with this guy. Nothing's happened to him. It wasn't like Isaiah. They sawed him in half at the temple, okay? And the same guy who ordered it came to know the Lord later on in Isaiah, the king of Azai. So these people are like, you know what? We need to get rid of John. So they took him to Patmos, which is right outside of Turkey. The island is maybe about 10 miles long, 5 or 6 miles wide. It was a mine there for minerals, for rock, and they worked the people there. Anyway, John was there for a number of years, and he came back to Ephesus, and he passed there before he passed away. Yes, John was married, and that's all we know about him. But with John, both your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, this is not referring to the tribulation period. Everybody was going through problems. It says here, all those in 2 Timothy 3:12, all those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The idea of persecution is the idea of somebody hunting you down. Christians were being hunted down. You have people today in the world that are being hunted down. But then John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, it wasn't the tribulation period that they were going through, because we looked at that in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. They were confused between the rapture and the tribulation. And we'll get to Christmas time in a minute. But it was a time, was what he was saying here, but be of good cheer. You know, we're all going through trials. Trials are usually things the Lord allows into our lives. And then tribulations are these things that manifest themselves from the outside. You know, the elements of the weather. Because we live in a cursed world, as we see. And then in Acts chapter 14, verse 22 says, we must go through many tribulations to enter into the kingdom of God. It's going to happen to us. And there'll be more to come. But thank God, God has protected us, has helped us. So it says here that he was in verse 9, that he was on an island called Patmos, the word of God for the testimony of Jesus Christ. and I was in the Spirit. And by the way, Jesus Christ means the Lord is salvation. Christ means the anointed one. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Remember when John baptized Jesus, so he was anointed by God for this time as this. So we look at the time of this, and I kind of reminded me of the three wise men. I think Hope had mentioned this about the three gifts. The myrrh was symbolic of Christ's death, okay? The gold is symbolic of royalty. And then, of course, the frankincense is symbolic of deity. So Christ was the incarnate Son of Man to mankind, God to mankind, the incarnate, the deity in flesh. And also he's mentioned here as the Son of Man. Okay, so he was the Son of God, and he was the Son of mankind, God to mankind, and he was God as equal to God. So we look at Jesus as an infant for Christmas time. We look at him as he was in weakness. He was born in a virgin from a Virgin Mary, okay, and Mary was counted as highly favored because it was mentioned there in Luke chapter 1 that, you know, through the lineage you have, through Mary's lineage came through Luke, and then of course through Matthew it came through Joseph, and it came together. By the way, God doesn't make any mistakes, amen. So you have what is going on here. He was weak at one time as a babe, you know, humanly. He was 100% man. Also, he was 100% God. And also, he had an earthly ministry, and also that he had a heavenly reign. And he was born of a carpenter. Some expositors think he was a stone mason. Others think that it was a carpenter with wood. Okay? So, you know, I think we got the idea. So there's the incarnation of Christ here, and then there's the revelation that John speaks of here. So going on to verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit. And it has the idea that he was caught up in the Spirit of God, present with the Spirit of God, and the Lord's Day. And that was a place that we know of. The Lord's Day is the resurrection day that the early church would, you know, get together with. That was the first day of the week. That was a Sunday that they got together. So then there was that time in the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet. Now, this is Christ speaking as a trumpet would speak, okay? We know that there's a French horn here today, but I'm trying to think of a trumpet, how it sounds. And remember, John is trying to put this together into words, okay, that we would understand. So that was something that was very loud, saying that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So we looked at last week, that's the strongest mention in the Koine Greek, which was from 300 BC to 300 AD. It was the most common language for that term, as the idea that through the ages, I will always be there. In other words, I will be here during the church age. I will be here during the tribulation period. I will also be here during the millennial time. And also, I'll be there the new heavens and new earth. Amen. And how quickly time is going by quickly. People have been telling me all week long, oh my goodness, Christmas is next week. Got to hurry, 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 right? Well, God's in no hurry because he's in control. He's outside of time. He knows all these things. So moving on here, says here that he's the first and the last. Verse 11 and going on here, it says, and what you see, write into the book and send it. So he's saying to John, look, whatever you see, send this to the seven churches that are located in modern-day Turkey. And there was, it's interesting because you could start with one church in Ephesus and follow up the road all the way back down to Laodicea. So there were seven churches, seven types of churches. John, I believe, like it says in Acts 19:10 says, all who dwell in Asia heard the word. And, you know, Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, according to Acts 20:11, and apparently the word got out. So remember, you know, Paul had part of to do this, and John had part of this to do this. And so the word got out. And so John was told to send these seven churches that which are in Asia to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia and Laodicea. I took about 20 minutes to try to pronounce the words right. You know, it's just a real tongue twister there. You know, don't worry about it. My professor said, just name it wheelbarrow or shovel or something. You can't figure it out. Try to, eventually, when you get online, you hear somebody say it right, you're like, got it. Anyway, so it's interesting. And we're going to be looking at these seven churches coming up, starting with Ephesus, losing a first love. It's interesting that John was the pastor of this church, and he noticed that people are losing their first love. Well, what is that? Well, just come next week. You'll find out now. Actually, you know, it's real easy to lose that first love and get your getting things organized, get them out of place, you know. So it's interesting that Christ said in each one of these churches, I know your works. I knew you were. So the letter was sent, and God already knew because he knows all things. And so it says here in verse 12, and we looked at the setting, the instructions, and the presence. Verse 12, and this is when we get into the Jesus, the baby Jesus compared to the Son of God, the glory of God, the Shekinah, the Holy God. But it says here, then I turned to see a voice that spoke with me. Remember that trumpet that sounded like the voice, like a trumpet, very loud voice. Trumpet was used to get people's attention back in the day. So they knew that. Just like the sirens that go off. Remember the sirens for tornadoes and used to have that. And they don't necessarily do that anymore, but they still have. You hear a lot of sirens going off during the holidays. Pray every time you hear a siren go off. Pray that whatever's happening. So it says here that then I turned with a voice, spoke to me, having, and I turned and saw seven lampstands. And the lampstands kind of reminds me of the menorah, which the Jews had, the seven candlesticks. Okay, now they have nine. They went from seven to eight to nine, but originally you wondered what those were for. There were seven days of creation. That's what they were there for originally. And the Jews took that and they worshiped God. But remember, that menorah was also in the temple of God. So they reminded them who was created, why we were created, what? To give glory to God, to have fellowship with God, to work for God. Okay? So there was that menorah. And so there was that, that put. And so it says here with seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Now, there he was. Remember, he's God in the flesh. He was God to mankind. And he clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. And think about the baby Jesus in the manger. He was humbled and rags and all. It was like protection. Mary wrapped up her babe, of course, because it was cold. I'm not going to get into where Jesus was born. I know he was born in Bethlehem, but where, some people say it was in a cave, other people say it was with animals. That's not necessary to get into. But we see him in Revelation, number one, with his attire that, you know, he's with a gold and with a sash and with a long robe. It's symbolizing his priesthood. Okay, so number one, he is a priesthood. He came as that to John. Verse 14, it says his head and hair were wool like white, and white as snow. Remember, Daniel saw the same revelation in Daniel chapter 7. And so the white here has the idea of a purity, wisdom, okay? And he was also pure and holy, okay? And yet we see the infant here was vulnerable, okay, to the elements thereof. And, you know, it was amazing when Mary and Joseph couldn't find their son. He's about 12 years of age, and they looked all over the place for him. Remember, he was found him in the temple, and he was listening and teaching the teachers. It's amazing, this little baby Jesus. Don't underestimate the baby, okay? And then we see the verse 14, and his eyes were like the flame of fire, and the eyes of the newborn. It was symbolizing the omniscience and the judgment of God, the all-knowing God. So Mary, did you know? You knew, you were told about this in Luke chapter 1, but there were a lot of things that Mary didn't know, because it's just like us today. We have children, or we know of children. They grow up, but we really don't know what they're going to be when they're going to get older. But we should give thanks. And then verse 15, it says here that his feet were like fine brass refined in a furnace. There was in the altar in the temple that was referred to the bronze, the metal there, the alloy was referred to the sacrifice for sin, divine judgment. I'm reminded of Jesus' feet. Okay, well, when our kids were born, I looked at this week. We have some old records that I kept. And, you know, when we pass on, they can have them do whatever they want to do. But on the certificate of birth, you have their feet instead of fingerprints. And apparently, Kimberly said because their fingerprints weren't good enough. Okay, you need to have the footprints there. I thought, okay, got it. All right, and so each one of us has a unique fingerprints, a unique footprints. Okay, and then of course in verse 15, there was the feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. So a crying of an infant. Okay, that could be a blessing or not, depending on what time of the day it is, what time you got to get up, right? You still love the little kid, and you want to take care of the kid. And then has the idea of all-powerful, the sound of many waters. You ever get by a waterfall and how powerful that is? And it just shows you that God's all-powerful. Okay, so then in verse 16, we see that he had his right hand seven stars, and now is now with a sharp two-edged sword. And so we see that also Jesus was a witness and a judge. He was a faithful witness of God's love. A sharp two-edged sword means that God's a discerner of thoughts and of the heart. And so when we read the Word of God, it's, you know, it discerns us. Loving discernment cuts back on the judgment and evil thoughts and the things of mercy and good things in our lives, that God's been so good to us. Verse 16 going on, it says here that his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And we see babies are so sweet, so innocent at times. You just hold them in your arms. That was the biggest joy with our kids, just holding it, you know, and having a bonding time with the infant. And then in comparison to his face shines like the sun in full strength, causing this here, his glory and his honor. So John is there in the spirit before an angel, before Christ, seeing this along the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are what? The churches. And remember, seven is a sign of completeness. Okay, God's completed word of God, God's word. And so we look at his presence, then his assurance in verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell to his feet as dead. Now, let me warn you all here this morning here. And I'm saying this as I preach the word of God in the spirit, I pray, that watch out for those people who talk about being slain in the spirit. That is false teaching. You know, you get people coming up and they smack you on the head and they say, oh, I've been slain in the spirit. And everybody gets all wild and crazy and they start dancing and doing all these weird things. Pagans do the same thing. And remember, people get hyped up on emotion when they're done with these crazy services. And I'm talking about churches. They leave and all of a sudden they crash. It's like eating a bunch of sugar and then you crash, right? They go out there and they're like, okay, where's the presence of God? Well, God has been with us the whole time, amen? He hasn't left us or he's walked away from us. But this had happened with a number of people in the Bible who were fellows as feet as dead. When they saw the presence of God, I think I've said this before, I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to get down on my face and just lay prostrate. I mean, it's on all fours, arms and legs on the ground, just, you know, the magnificence of Christ. I can't even explain it. Paul couldn't even explain it when he was called up. When we read from Daniel falling on his face, Daniel chapter 8, verse 7, such as effect was Ezekiel in his vision, Ezekiel 1, 26, 28. The transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, they fell on their face in Matthew 17, 8. And Paul was struck to the ground similar way when he saw the glory of God in Acts 9, 4. And then Isaiah fell on his face when he saw the Shekinah glory. And so falling on his feet is dead, but when he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I think this is wonderful. Seeing the vision of God, God loves us. It says here, even when John remembered this, he remembered placing his head on the chest of our Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. And we could hear the heartbeat. I think he was a man after God's own heart, but I think John too just wanted to serve and love his Savior. And then we see that Christ is an amazing Savior. He said this before he was crucified, let not your heart be troubled, let it be not afraid, John 14, 27. On the resurrection morning, he said to the women, do not be afraid, Matthew 28, 10. And when he appeared to the disciples later that day, he says, peace be unto you. How is this tying to Christmas? Well, you know what? So many people get caught into just the commercialism, Santa Claus, I got it. Like I said last week, one person said to me, you know, Santa Claus is like a clown. He likes to make people happy and everything else. But the point is, he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know if you've been good or bad. We got that. But the point is that Jesus is something. You can't even compare God with the things of the world. You know, like it says that in Corinthians. He is God in the flesh, and he loves us regardless of who we are or what we have done. He loves us. And he says, for this, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No other way can you come to the Father but by me. And so there he is. If people had just studied the scriptures, we went and talked about that in heaven, and, you know, about the three wise men. And I didn't get around to writing the verse down here this morning, but in Psalms, the Magi looked at scriptures and Psalms, and they found out where Jesus was going to be born. Remember, Herod found out. Herod was a jealous, evil king, and he was just like, you know what? We need to kill everybody for 2 years down. Again, Herod was an envious king. It's one thing being jealous, another thing being envious, because God is a jealous God of us. Envy means that you want what they have regardless, and you're going to take it. And what happened was, The wise men said, you know what, let's not go back to King Herod, because the angel already told us not to go back to him. The man is evil, he's up to no good. And they left. And remember, with Mary and Joseph, they went down to Egypt, right? So they were wise, they followed the Lord. And so, moving on here. So Jesus says, do not be afraid, in verse 17, I am the first and last, and he who lives was dead. In other words, the resurrection. He is the resurrection of our life. Amen. You know, people say, well, where's the body? Well, you know what? In every other religion, you will find the bones of Muhammad, okay? You will find the bones of Buddha. You will find the bones, you know, there. But there's nothing with Jesus. He's gone. He's resurrected. Nothing like it in the world. So it says, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys to the Hades and of death. Thank God for that, because death is the last thing that Christ during the great judgment will throw into the lake of fire is death. And Hades, which is what? Hell. That will be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus has the keys and has the idea, when you have the keys, you have the authority. You have the privilege. We were joking, we were kidding around here earlier with one person. I says, you know, I have a key to the church, but I don't know where it's at. Yeah. I said, don't worry about it. You know, it's okay. And so God has given us keys. God has given us authority to go into places, to do things. So Hades and death will be cast in the lake of fire. Write the things which you have seen, things which you are, with things which will take place. So we looked at Revelation being caught up in three categories. Revelation chapter 1, things which have been seen, which things which are which are, Revelation 2 and 3, and things which will take place, Revelation 4 through 22. And then, of course, closing with this, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand. And these are, they are the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars, which are the angels or the seven churches. Some people interpret this as the pastors of the churches, because as the light goes out, remember these lights, first of all, there's the Spirit of God. I am nothing without the Spirit of God. Okay. Messenger can be translator, either as pastor, and we've had good pastors here. Amen. We've had good people to carry on. I know one lady said here, I come to this church, remember my pastor, he's such a, thank God for him because he stood with Christ and that's why I come here. But her pastor passed away. So, and then we see that there is also the seven lampstands, which you saw are the seven churches. So the messengers, however you want to translate that, angels or pastors, then you have that with what? The seven churches. And therefore, John was writing this down, and he saw the vision of the Son of Man. Today, we see the vision. We have seen the vision of the baby Jesus. Jesus was born, okay? Unfortunately, people get too caught up in commercialism, too much running around. I think that's destroyed more Christmases for people because they're so busy, exhausted. And I know we're all trying to fit everything together into a whole week, you know, the 12 days of Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people put, and I see less and less of Jesus. You know, I was looking for a tie the other day. I'm going to wrap this up. Couldn't find any ties with Jesus on it. So I had to deal with a Christmas tree. But thank God for that. You know, we still have the reason of the season. The Spirit. Some of us have enjoyed Christmases for 80 years or so. Some of us for 60, in between there. So I ask you, by the grace of God, how are you visioning God today in your life? So you've seen quite a bit what God can do here. So in conclusion here, what is our vision of the glorified Son? Verse 9 is number one is our testimony to follow him. Number two, he is, verse 10, he is the Spirit to be worshipped as. And number three, he is from the beginning to time to the end, verse 11. Verse 12, number four, he is in the Spirit and of the seven churches. Number five, in verse 13, he is the Son of Man, the incarnate, the deity of Christ, the babe in the flesh. And number six, he is also known as the high priest, king, prophet, pure, sinless, all-wise, all-knowing, judge of all people, a sacrifice for all people, all-powerful, a faithful witness, a light, a discerning servant with love as he came. He overcame hell and death. He was resurrected, and he is alive evermore, in verses 14 through 18. And then lastly, in verses 19 through 20, it was written for us, and we should be blessed. We're very happy. It's a warning that Christ could take out a church. And we see, unfortunately, I don't want to leave on a bad note, but it's fact, it's truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. There's been over 15 churches that have closed in the past 15,000, they say. Got to be careful with these statistics. But a lot more churches are closing today than they are beginning. And so we need to pray that there'll be more of the gospel. We live in an age of apostasy, but we know the truth, and truth will set us free. We also are living in an age of the Church of Philadelphia to the missionary church. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close this, and then we're going to have a song here to sing. And so let me pray before we get into our song. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We just pray that we'll continue to put Jesus in our season and help us not to be out of season with him, and help us to do what's right and pleasing to you. And we give you thanks and praise. We just pray for those who are online, Lord, that you would be with them and help them, Lord, to come to know you. My friend, it's not just Christmas, but also think about Christmas. Think about Easter, too, of what, you know, Christ was born to die on the cross for our sins, and he loves us. In Jesus' name we pray.